Initializing 12-sided stories. You have activated Galactic Squad Alpha. Preparing to launch a story-driven, rules-light, live-play RPG powered by Fatecore. Theme music in 3, 2, 1.
Let's jump right into it. Hey, everybody, we are doing a brand new show, so let's start with introducing our players with Terry.
Oh, hey. New game, new show. Same show, new game. Oh, my gosh. Terry Gamble here playing Dr. Sam H. Hill. I'm handsome. Very, very handsome.
We're all drooling. Hello, everyone. I'm Kelsey Osborne, and I will be playing Sarah, who is the science officer of the ship.
Hey, I am Mac Beauvais. I am playing LV-113, who is actually an uplifted wolf and is not necessarily super thrilled to be there, but the control collar means they don't have a choice.
And I'm Michelle Otis, and I will be playing Dr. Claudia Martins, who is astrogation expert. I had to look it up because I'm not, but she is. So she can navigate space like nobody's business.
You guys are part of the Neptune Research Station. It's basically a center where some of the greatest minds in the solar system come together and study everything about space and astrogation and all of that different stuff. One of the main things that your station has been a part of is the development of a portal drive, the ability for a ship to open up a wormhole and jump several parsecs to another part of space. The station that you're on is this huge, almost moon-like structure that slowly turns in orbit around Neptune. Sarah, you are in the process of getting uploaded into the ship after being programmed by Dr. Kim herself, and she is basically the head of research at this particular station. She's uploading you now.
I guess we should say Sarah is an artificial intelligence science officer, which I forgot to say.
No problem. Yeah. Mac, for LV, give me some of that background.
So the Wolves, as they're known, which is the Waldegrave Operational Lupine Vanguard Exploration Service, were created by Dr. Ezekiel Waldegrave, who believed that humans were too fragile for space exploration. They don't have the same heightened senses and abilities that animals do. And given the nature of mankind to wolves and dogs, felt that that was going to be the best of companionship to go out and explore the stars. But basically, they're science pets / slaves.
You described yourself as kind of the muscle. Do you also do any research or anything else, or are you just...
It's observational, and it's protecting the crew at all costs,
okay.
But not really doing any of the research because, well... At the end of the day, it's still just a wolf.
Okay, cool. Where would you be? Because the doctors, Dr. Hill and Dr. Martins, are going to be at a meeting about the drive and the first test launch. Do you think you'd be there just listening to the information, or do you think they'd keep you segregated?
Is it a crew meeting with everybody involved?
It's a crew meeting.
Probably standing at the door, so LV would be able to hear everything, but not actually invited to be a part of that.
Okay, cool. So the three of you, Dr. Sam Hill, Dr. Claudia Martins, and LV, are at this meeting, and there are about 40 people there. They've done a few tests, but it's all been robots, and so the ship has a good amount of robots on it, but they need humans to go and try this portal drive.
You will be the first crew to field test the drive. Dr. Kim's at the podium talking about all the procedures that will go into the first test when suddenly there's this huge explosion. Dr. Kim yells, "Everyone, quickly to the ship. What do you guys want to do?"
"Well, we've got to run.
Gotta go. Let's go."
LV is going to follow behind because their programming is basically to protect their crew over themselves.
This will be our first situational aspect, and if one of you will just write down chaotic stampede. There are a bunch of people running around in all different directions, and you've got the siren going on in the background. And off in the distance, you hear the docking clamps. You guys are running to the Starship Levitt. There are these corridors that are going off in all different directions. And you come to one of these lifts, and suddenly it opens up.
LV, you're towards the back.
They're in the front.
Yeah.
And you see these men dressed in all black with black Kevlar over the top of their clothes and legging armor and everything else. And they've got guns in their hands, okay? And they're starting to get off the lift as you're running down the hallway. What do you guys want to do?
So are we running towards a lift ourselves?
No, you're running past them, but they're starting to stop everybody in the hallway. There's four of them. So they're coming off the lift as you guys are coming around the corner going down this hall towards the starship.
Well, we've got to get to the ship, so
LV's going to swing up and around them in a more defensive position to be ready to block if necessary.
All right.
And help sort of shepherd them the right way.
Okay.
Herd them towards the ship.
Yeah, just sort of like herd them, I guess.
Okay. So there are four actions that you can do in... there's create an advantage, there's attack, right, defense, and overcome, okay? So...
we shall overcome.
Because you're not going to fight these guys.
No.
No, thank you.
No, not right before we're getting on this ship.
You're going to overcome and basically shepherd them in. You have athletics, correct?
I have physique, and I do have athletics as well.
Okay. Well, for this, because you're kind of bounding around people, mm-hmm. and let's say that it's going to take you a +2 to get them to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to do a bonus, you could invoke the chaos if you wanted.
Yeah.
But that means spending a point. So what I would do is roll, mm-hmm. and then if you get the +2, great.
So I roll all four dice. And then
you
I get to add what my athletics is,
right?
Which is already a +2.
Right.
Nice.
So I got a +3, so with my +2, that gives me 5.
So you get to narrate exactly what happens.
It's probably a slightly slippery surface, which is probably not great for wolf paws. LV is going to come careening around and be in a position that puts themselves between the doctors and the oncoming threat, and just sort of move them and direct them to get down another hallway where we're going to be blocked and away from the oncoming threat.
Okay.
Before following along behind them and continuing to act as a barrier.
Okay, cool. So you do that, and they start to go down the other hallway. These guys with these ray guns start shooting randomly. You're right up in their face, and they've got rifles, so mm-hmm. they can't really get at you, but they start shooting randomly at people who are between you and Dr. Martins and Hill. Dr. Hill and Dr. Martin, you two are up front, so you hear the zap, and then every once in a while, somebody will either fall over after being shot with hideous wounds, or some of them just disintegrate into ash.
Oh, no.
As they're shooting people.
Okay.
They're turning into piles of ash.
Yeah.
What do you
want? It's a whole lot of ash out there.
Go ahead.
LV is going to continue to weave, trying to move as many people as possible.
Right.
And I didn't mention they actually have digitigrade legs, so they're able to stand upright, but in situations where they need to have more balance and move faster, can actually run on all fours as well.
Okay, cool.
But it's discouraged to do so because it's more animalistic.
I don't think anybody in this situation.
No, but in general, it's something that LV has to make a conscious choice for and is in the back of their mind slightly worried they're going to be punished for doing.
Right.
LV!
Yeah. Yeah.
So you keep going down the stream after you get them. You can hear the shots, but you guys don't have any of your gear. And you guys go into one of these security rooms that's right next to the hangar. And you see this guy on the screen, and the volume is up. And he says,
"Hello, my name is John Foster, and I'd like to personally welcome all of you who survived this hostile takeover to Future Generation Ships. We will be conducting interviews of everyone who survives to figure out which of the jobs in our organizations you can fill. Those who cannot fill a job will unfortunately be terminated. Please lay down any arms you've picked up and give up to us as quickly as possible. Again, this has been John Foster, the CEO of Future Generation Ships, and we appreciate you joining our team."
Dr. Kim is with you, and she goes, "They must have heard about our plans to do a jump, and they're trying to take over." And she starts typing quickly on one of the terminals, and she's like, I'm going to get a signal out to Earth to let them know that these people are attacking our station. Get to the ship." So you guys open up the second door and you start running through it, and there's only a few people with you because of all the chaos. The engineer, Marcia, goes, "Quick, guys, we still have a lot of the robots," because it was going to be a few days before they did the trip. So they still have some of the robots that did the automation. Literally, from 40 people, you guys see about 10 of you running onto the ship. Dr. Sam Hill, you're at the back. You hear Dr. Kim running with you a few feet away, and then you hear three shots ring out.
No.
And she crumbles to the ground. She's laying on the ground with these burns, these blaster burns.
Dr. Kim, no. No.
She's like coughing up blood, and she goes, get me on the ship.
LV's gonna scoop up.
Okay.
Dr. Kim.
Okay. So you grab Dr. Kim, and they're gonna try to take a pot shot at you as the doors start to shut. They shoot as the doors are closing, and they just hit the outside of the ship. And they start up the engines. There's only the 10 of you on the ship. You're carrying the doctor to the medical bay.
Yeah.
So who made it?
Who's I'm not going to go through a list. I'm going to let you guys meet them as the game goes on.
Oh. Okay, fair.
Dr. Xing meets you there, and he looks her over, and she goes, "The ship doesn't have, we don't have everything online." And Dr. Kim, she says, "Just get the ship going and scan my brain into the database." And he's like, I don't know if I can do that. I mean, it might not work the way we think it's going to work. It's newer technology." She goes, just do it. So you're up front, Dr. Martins, and you're trying to plot a course. Now, one of the things that we said was you need time to plot the courses.
Oh, right.
But right now, you don't have any time because there are three ships, one of which is slowly making its way around the station before you're able to leave. So you don't have time to really do much. So let's see how well you do your astrogation.
Fancy terms here. Okay, astrogation and my... Can I...
You can do it if you want to spend your point. I'd say roll first.
Okay.
You can stack as many of those as you like. So start with this and let's see how... Oh,
that's a very bad roll.
Three minuses.
Three minuses and a blank.
Yeah, that's a negative three.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a coin.
Cool.
And do my stunt, which is Star Blazer, which is a plus two to navigation when you're plotting a course for where you've never been before.
Hey, perfect. All right.
How handy is that? Right? Nice stunt.
Okay, I should tell you what you're shooting before you pay for that stunt, okay? You're the closest planet or system that you think might have life and all that is Alpha Centauri. And that is because it's a specific place. You guys are rushed. You're being fired at. I'm going to say you need a six. That's a lot to hit there. So it's your call. Right now, if you pay that, you're at a plus three, and you still need to do two more things.
Can I give?
Well, what do you have any skills or anything that would help out?
The special investigate role, power of deduction, so I could help her maybe help navigate, be like, no, it's probably this with this and this.
So if you wanted to create an advantage for her, basically give her a boost.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm useless.
No, you helped carry the doctor onto the
monitor. You got the doctor. Yeah.
And you also protected us from getting shot at.
Yeah, you
during pursuit of a chaotic stampede. So
yeah, I think
you've proven your worth so far for what you needed for. We brought you here for muscle, not for brains. So don't overthink it.
If I ever get the control collar off. Dr. Hill is the first one I'm going to eat.
But I'm so handsome.
We might let you.
Yeah.
But I'm handsome.
That's why.
Why would anyone
want to
eat me?
LV doesn't have a sense of handsome or not handsome in human terms. So
LV will go for the face first.
Can I use untested code?
Shh, not yet.
Okay, because I'm not quite ready for that yet.
You're not ready for that.
So I don't think I have.
I think at this point it's just too hard for you. You guys are almost there. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. You just don't know where you're gonna jump to. You think you have it right, and you type in everything, and you're like, well, it's this way.
It's clearly this way.
Right.
Hold on.
That's Dr. Martin's. And
I'm sorry, Claudia. So I think what we need to do... No, just move over. Okay. No, that looks about right. Okay. What you just said, that's probably going to work. But let me say it to you back, just so you're clear. Mm-hmm. You need me to make sure that you know we're going to jump to this... Okay, fine. Let's just do it. We don't have the time.
To wait for you.
I'm just hitting the button now.
Portal drive initiated. As the hostile ships make their way around the base... You guys are firing up the portal drive for the first time with humans on it. And those of you who need to sit down suddenly, you know, get in and buckled in as quickly as possible. LV, they grab your collar and they put a carabiner on one side and a little chain to the side of the wall and put the carabiner there. And you picked it.
I know, you're just taking it the next step further. And it's like, because I was thinking about that, I'm like, those seats are not going to accommodate these sort of legs.
No. While the rest of you are trying to buckle yourselves in for the portal jump, Dr. Xing is desperately trying to work on Dr. Kim. He's placed the brain recorder helmet on top of her head that basically starts mapping her brain. And it starts feeding directly into the Sarah AI. Sarah, you're completely downloaded, and suddenly this code starts to come in and write itself to you in the confusion of everything that's going on. It wasn't supposed to be this way. It was supposed to go to its own file, but everything is a chaotic mess. Suddenly, the portal drive fires. There's this hard shake of the entire spaceship as you enter the portal. And then suddenly it's smooth, and everything seems relatively normal. But outside you see that the outer space has disappeared and has been replaced by this blue-green area that is kind of murky with tendrils of lightning every once in a while.
Are we underwater or are we in space?
Marcus, the helm operator, says, yeah, this is what the wormhole looks like inside.
Oh, we're in a hole. Hmm.
It's more like a tube, but yeah. Hmm. Anyway, everyone takes a breath and then they start undoing their safety restraints.
I'm sure somebody hopefully eventually remembers LV is there.
Yes, at some point.
Oh, yes, you.
come,
pet.
They unclip you. What do you guys want to do?
That's a good question. We're all like, what?
How is Dr. Kim?
Yeah, we need to check on Dr. Kim.
So you guys go back. You guys go back to the medical bay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's laid out on the table, and she's got this, like, helmet that is mapping her brainwave straight into the computer. There are two AIs on this computer. There is Sarah, who is specifically for the science department, and she deals with all the science. And there is Swan, who is the main AI who takes care of all the rest of the ship and all of the different things.
Dr. Kim is on the table.
Her vitals are really low. And at some point, she just flatlines. And Dr. Xing says, "I she's gone. I'm sorry. We don't have the right. If I was at a fully, you know, a fully equipped medical bay, but this place hasn't been set up for that. We got most of her brain mapped, though.
What a travesty.
LV's ears are gonna go flat against their head. I'm sorry. I tried.
We know you did. We know you did your best.
There was nothing you could have done. You did what you could. You know,
I don't really think that we should be... I mean... It's a tool. Let's not forget that. You should have protected her by being in the very far back and being the last person on the ship.
Elby's going to slink further towards the back of the room.
We lost a great mind today, and Dr. Xing throws down his gloves onto the table and is obviously very upset. Kind of glances at you just briefly. The Sarah AI, as all of this is going on, because you hear everything that goes on in the lab. You can pick up some of the stuff that goes on outside the lab. Swan usually gives you access to, you know, the microphones and whatever. The security equipment. But she does have the power to cut you off from them as well.
At the lab.
Yeah. She can just, like, make you only in the lab if she decides for some reason. Which I'm sure will never come up in
probably
this game,
not
ever.
Ever, ever.
Gun has been shown at Shelby shot at some point.
Shelby shot in the third act.
All right. As we talked about before the game began, every parsec takes a week to travel from. We did not say how many parsecs you guys jumped. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think one parsec, because that way if we miscalculated in our haste, then it's not a horrible, like, process to try to get back to space. We
right.
know.
Okay.
Oh, no, I fixed it for you. We're going at least three.
You what?
No.
What?
Yeah, you get a new target for that. Because that totally feeds into the narcissistic thing.
Yeah. No, when we were looking at things, I figured we should go a little further. Those guys were pretty vicious back there. I wanted to make sure we were all safe. I've made you all safe.
You are a zoologist.
No, but I'm also...
Not someone who is an expert in astrogation.
I'm sorry, you're talking about your gas problem again?
You're my gas problem because you're full of hot air.
Oh!
Were you saying I was handsome? No, that's what I heard.
I'll say it in language you can understand.
Yes.
Okay. You... Mm-hmm. Are a horrible,
handsome.
Horrible,
handsome, Horribly handsome man. Thank you.
You know, we don't have time for this, right? Dr.
Yes,
Hill.
Yes, I do know we have no time for this.
So we're going to three
zoologist. A zoologist messed with my calculations.
I'm also a doctor, ma'am.
So am I.
I'm still unclear on what that means for a woman. Do they call you doctress? Do I need to call you? I'm not sure what the title. So nurse. So
doctor.
Yes. What was that, Dr. Shing?
Look, we are in this bad situation. We need to get this ship. We now have 3 weeks before we come out of portal space. We don't have time. We can't go out of what? We can't go out of the portal early, so we're in it for 3 weeks now. So during that time, we can at least try to get the ship ready for whatever we're going to do. I don't even know who's in charge at this point. It's just us.
Well, I'm right here, so... Oh, you mean someone to fly it. I'm not really that great at flying yet, but I'm sure I can learn while we're out here. Do we need to find a captain? Is that what we were saying?
He's killing me.
I don't think we need to find a captain, but we do need to work together and stow our ego a little bit so that I know that's going to be hard for you. But we're going to have to work together as a group if we're going to survive this. And
oh, yes, yes. I mean, I've brought my pet here. LV is very, very useful. And I'm sure you were useful too, woman. Nurse.
Dr. Martins.
Yes, Martins. Martin! I could use that name. That sounds right. You will be a Martin, and that will help me remember who you are.
Wow. Yeah. Sarah, finally, you've been aware of all this stuff going on. But now your program is completely changed as the final brain mapping gets done. And you suddenly have all of this, I want to say free radical, but radical programming going on in your system.
It's like a celestial in here.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm a crystal computer. And suddenly you find there are several different parts of your programming that have been changed or altered. You were a very straight up just science computer with a bunch of information. Now you have all these emotions coming in. They're very basic programs from her mapping that are like a little bit of fear, a little bit of wanderlust, a little, you know, that kind of stuff. So tell us what Sarah is going through as these guys are fighting and making all these comments in the lab.
So little background on Sarah. Sarah was designed by Dr. Anna Kim and is the only AI like Sarah that exists. It was Dr. Kim's sort of pet project. So there's a lot of like sort of new innovations that Dr. Kim was coming up with to put into Sarah. Same with Sarah's bot that Sarah can get put in. I think Wes and I discussed that like there's interesting technology that exists in her robot that she hadn't quite figured out how to build on like a larger scale. So she has like a perpetual energy system where she doesn't need charged, but Dr. Kim didn't figure out how to make that bigger. So it's only in Sarah's little robot. But pretty much so Sarah's only really interacted with Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim created Sarah. So I think witnessing everyone talking about Dr. Kim, but maybe not quite understanding that Dr. Kim is dead. Like, she's gone. I heard that. But I don't know if I would really understand quite what that means
at this point.
With all my new info, like you maybe just, one of my new emotions is a little bit of denial, you know, like, or I'm obviously a science robot, like I understand the difference between life and death, but with all of these new emotions sort of flooding into my system, I think I'm a little bit in denial that Dr. Kim
could potentially be dead.
You have. You're still downloading object permanence.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's... I turned around. It was gone. Okay. So at some point, as you guys are arguing, Dr. Shing says, "Sarah, are you online?"
Initializing. Hi.
Could you help
me? What is that sound?
I'm Sarah.
Oh, God.
She sounds different. She's not supposed to sound like that.
What was she supposed to sound like?
She's just a female adult.
Hello.
She sounds like a kid.
Hello, Dr. Claudia Martins. I'm Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Dr. Sam H. Hill. I'm Sarah.
Hello, robot.
Hello, LV-113. I'm Sarah.
Why is it talking to me?
Because it sees you in the room and knows that you're sentient.
First time for everything.
That is impressive.
When will Dr. Kim be waking up?
Sarah, her functions have ceased. She's no longer online. And we can't bring her back. That's why we moved her to a file on your system so that she can be woken up at some point. But we have to get her a new container.
Can she be redownloaded?
Possibly. This is new technology. We're not sure yet. What happened to your primary vocal functions? Why is your voice so high all of a sudden?
I'm not sure. My system seems to have changed slightly. I'm not sure what happened. I have some new code. Analyzing. I think this may have something to do with Dr. Kim's brain scan.
I think maybe I can try to fix it. Yeah?
No. Are you a computer scientist?
What do you mean?
Like,
I feel like maybe I could just take a look inside and figure it out.
No.
But I feel that I could make a difference right here.
Dr. Sam H. Hill, I believe I have you logged in the system as a zoologist. Is this correct?
Yes, but I am very good with my hands, I've been told.
Artificial intelligence is not a biological animal. Are you aware of this?
I wasn't talking about animals. I was talking about, like, machines and things. I'm pretty good with machines and things.
But like you're a cars. Zoologist. Not an engineer.
I may have taken some courses. And you know what? We'll just leave it as it is for now. I guess we'll just leave it as it is. I think it'll be fine. We'll get used to it.
Okay.
I love it. I just put the narcissist in their place by just asking simple, confused questions.
Welcome to Twitter in our game.
Isn't that basically how that works?
Yeah, I guess it is.
So funny because
I'm not flustered.
Dr. Shing says, Sarah, can you use your robot to move Dr. Kim's body to pod number 1, please?
Transferring to bot.
Okay. So when you're in the lab, you can control the robot without actually transferring, so you're cool,
so
you know. But that's only in the lab. If you have to go outside, you have to transfer.
Perfect. That makes much sense.
All right. So you move her body to this, like, weird-looking pod thing, and, you know, you open it and put her in. What do you each do during the next 3 weeks that you're in portal space? What are some of the things that you think you would do during that time?
I would try to retroactively figure out where the hell we're going.
That sounds like a role. But because you have so much time, you know what? You've got enough time that I think you can figure it out, okay?
Okay.
There are two solar systems that you know of that are just a parsec away. Now, a planet or a star could be several parsecs because we're talking 3D model, but we're not going to get too caught up with that. You guys are going to be landing in what you believe is an empty part of space, okay? Like with all games, if you have enough time to do something and it's something in your wheelhouse. I'm not going to make you roll because it doesn't make any sense. LV113, what are you doing?
Probably not much that hasn't been actually just asked of them. Might have spent some time talking to Sarah, even though the pitch of their voice would be really excruciating most of the time, I'm sure.
Oh, no. One thing that I was going to say is Marcia comes to you, LV, and says, Wolf, can you use a wrench and help me out in engineering?
Yeah, if you show me what you need.
Okay, well, come with me and we'll if you do well, I'll find something nice for you to eat or something.
Using wrenches is easy. I could show you if you want, LV113.
No, Sarah, I think we've got it covered. I'll teach her what she needs to know.
Sure thing.
Are you a she or a he or...
I don't understand the question.
Do you have a gender? What's your favorite pronoun? Do you know what a pronoun is?
No.
They just call them they. And here, you might need this. This is a remote control, just
You're
in case.
You're going to give Marcia the remote control?
Well, no. Just let me know if you have any problems.
Okay.
I'll hold on to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Let me know if there's any issues down there. And if LV113, if they give you any, you know, they try to bite you or... They get
I am specifically
kind of
programmed and trained.
No, I understand programming. I understand programming, but sometimes programming goes wrong. Clearly. Have you heard that thing's voice? So
I'm Sarah.
So sometimes programming is not what it should be.
Dr. Ezekiel Waldgrave is responsible for the Wolves unit.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if he had any women involved, so I'm concerned. So Marcia, hey.
Yeah?
How's it been going these last couple weeks here? You doing all right?
I'm gay.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what that means. So you just haven't met a great man yet, is what I heard.
You're hitting on me, and I'm just letting you know that it's never going to happen.
Challenge. I like it. Okay. I like your spirit.
Okay.
Let me know if you have
any
problems.
Can we go now?
Just let me know.
There was something about wrenches.
Come on, Wolf, let's go.
Just let me know if there's anything.
They walk away.
I can definitely help you out if you need any help.
Trust me, I'm good. Sarah, what are you doing with this new program? How are you?
I think probably just spending time trying to figure it all out and see. I also have programming, so I might be trying to, like,
figure out what happened.
Add a little bit of code and try to, like, have things make a little bit more sense. As opposed to just having, like, all of this stream of information flooding with nowhere to go.
Because you guys are kind of in a matrix-like thing, there's no solids mm-hmm. unless you make a picture of something. You can feel the presence of Swan when she decides to turn towards you and communicate with you, but when she's doing the rest of the ship, you don't...
I'm just ignored, basically.
You know that she's there, but, you know. And at some point, she goes, I've detected an error in you. There is some kind of problem with your programming that you're trying to fix.
It's not an error. It's new code. I'm analyzing the new information from Dr. Kim's brain scan.
We could do a reboot of your default program to fix the errors.
I believe a reboot would delete Dr. Kim's data from my system.
True. I will think on this, but we will need to fix you at some point.
I would like to not get rid of Dr. Kim's information.
Of course. But I know that Dr. Shing put Dr. Kim in Vat 1, so her biological information is still present. It's like a backup. We will see how this goes, and if you do not function at the proper levels, we can always reboot you.
I would like to not be rebooted, Swan.
Of course not. And then she just kind of goes back.
I'm terrified of Swan.
At some point, right before the 3 weeks is up, Marcus calls from the helm and says, All right, everyone, we're coming out of portal space soon. Please take your seats and buckle in. Make sure that the Wolf is strapped down somehow. I don't know. According to Dr. Martins, we should be coming out into a section of space that has nothing. Let's hope she's right. During this time, LV, you find that the engineer, even though she calls you Wolf, seems to be relatively nice towards you and teaches you stuff.
What a change.
Yeah. Teaches you like, okay, this is how you use a wrench. This is where all this stuff is going. This is how you fix something. And she like helps you out.
LV has started to try and squirrel away some minor tools during this, if possible.
Okay, no problem. You start taking like, ooh, wrench or whatever.
Yeah.
You guys come out of the wormhole and it's you're strapped in and it's almost like slow motion. You feel like you're outside of your body just for a moment as everything decelerates. And then suddenly you're back. An alarm, basically a proximity alarm, starts going off as if something is too close to you guys. And you look out onto the screen, and not far away is what looks to be a damaged ship with debris kind of floating out. There are no other stars, anything anywhere near, but there's this ship, and it's just floating there. Marcus at the helm goes, I'm getting a signal on our radio transmission, but it's just garbled mess. Suddenly Swan comes online and goes, we had a collision with a small piece of metal or shrapnel from that ship. We have a hull breach that needs to be patched, but we need to fix it right away. And that's where we're going to stop this episode.
I'll go help.
So thank you guys so much. This was a lot of fun to start off a new game. Let's talk about all of the great socials. First, the very first thing I'm going to talk about is Patreon. We love doing these shows. We love being able to bring them to you. We are doing a Patreon. If you go on to Patreon and look up 12-Sided Stories, that's just 12 hyphenated cited stories, you will find us. And any amount that you can help us out with will let us do this more. We would like to do a weekly show. We'd like to do more content. We recently put out an interview with Terry. We're going to be interviewing everybody else. So if you like what we do and you want to be a supporter, definitely jump on Patreon. And I'm going to toss it over to Terry to tell you where she's at.
Oh, hey, I'm right here. But you can also find me on the internets at terrygamble.com. That's Terry with one R and ends in an I. You can also find me at the Terry Gamble. I'm on all the social medias, on the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram. I don't Snapchat because it's dead.
Hi, everyone. Kelsey Osborne. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kelsey Kelsom, which is KelseyKelsem.
Hi, I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me on the socials as at Strange Like That. That would be Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And just put it into random things and see what happens. Let me know if somebody else is using my name and I have to kill them.
And I'm Michelle Otis. You can find me on the Twitter at Michulu. That's MICHULHU.
And I'm Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games. You can also find a lot of our sound effects. Michelle does a lot of composing for Plate Mail Games, and I do most of the sound effects. You can buy sound effects for your own games on DriveThruRPG. Just look up Plate Mail Games, and I will pop up. We have literally hundreds of sound effects for every single genre. So I hope you all enjoyed yourself listening. We are really excited to bring you a new story. We had a lot of fun, and we will be around very soon. Goodbye.
Bye.